Podcast Network Asia. Hi, everybody. I'm Edric.
I'm Joy.
Welcome to
Family Unboxed,
where we talk about everything family, from the light stuff, the fun stuff, to even the heavy and controversial stuff. Because our desire is to encourage families and see the world changed
one family at a time.
Hello, everybody. Welcome again to another episode of
Family Unboxed.
And today we are going to have some of our kiddos as we share something that becomes very challenging, especially at a time like this. But it is a concern, whether it is a crisis time, pandemic time or not, in families. And we wanted to unbox this a little bit more. The whole idea of how do I manage my time? How do I balance? That's a big word that you'll hear across many families, especially in this time of a pandemic where, you know, you have parents working from home, children studying at home, everybody's at home, and it seems like there's just no way to make everything work. So how do you balance? And we've spoken about this also in different venues. We're asked this quite a bit. So we figured let's talk about it. Let's unbox it today, right, baby? You ready?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. So as we start talking about time management, the first thing that I'm especially passionate about is the idea that balance is actually a myth. What do I mean? We really can't technically balance things. There's always something we are fully engaged in doing. And actually, there's always something we should be fully engaged in doing. That's part of this principle of managing time well. So instead of thinking of the word balance or even the picture of balance, instead we think about what are the individual things, important things, which we need to now prioritize. That's the better word for us as we look at managing our time, even amidst all the different things that need to get done through a pandemic like this. So how do we create prioritization instead of balance should be the question. And when we look at prioritization, it reminds us that the reality is everything we do, we need to be able to do fully, individually, instead of trying to do several things at the same time. And if you look at even just the reality, there are books that I've especially appreciated through my growth in leadership and development, which one of them is The One Thing. And the authors behind this number one best-selling book are Gary Keller and Jay Papasan. So he basically talks about how...
I think it's Jay Papasan.
Okay, fine. Papasan. It's an American set of authors. So I just tried to use what I think the pronunciation would be in that context. Regardless, P-A-P-A-S-A-N, Papasan or Papasan. These gentlemen talked about how we need to focus on the one thing. And in very practical terms, when people talk about multitasking, for example, even in the workspace, which seems to be a good way to quote-unquote balance, which I'm trying to dispel in this first principle or this first perspective about time management, the multitasking is actually a myth, as these authors narrate, because when you really look at it and when you look at the brain can only do one task at a time. Even if it seems like we're doing two or three things at the same time, it's actually focusing and shifting between one or the other. And it says that when you multitask, when you're trying to do several things at the same time, what you're really doing is task switching. So you might be doing a call on your cell phone while you're typing something on the computer, right? So what you're really doing is you're doing one thing and shifting between one or the other. And it says that the inefficiency that results from that is actually greater. The actual time they gave was something like we lose 23 seconds each time we switch from one thing to another, instead of just focusing on one thing and getting it done. So this is a great reminder and a practical construct, if you will, for us at home. When we start thinking about the many different things we need to do, instead of balancing, we now need to prioritize, identify these things we need to do, and make sure we get them done one by one. Put everything we've got behind that. One practical construct that I've used from my son, Elijah, is what's called the Pomodoro technique. And the Pomodoro technique basically is you want to have 25-minute blocks where you just do one main thing. That's it. For 25 minutes, get it done. Put all your energy behind it. And then once the 25-minute block is done, then you take a 5-minute break. You do this 3 times, And after the third time of doing this same rhythm, you now want to take a longer break. Maybe 15, 20 minutes, go for coffee or get some merienda if you're in the Philippine context. And then go back and keep hacking away at these single individual tasks. That's a way to be more effective and to be able to prioritize better. Now, when we prioritize, obviously, we need to ask ourselves, okay, well, Edric, if I'm going to take that practical application, well, how will I know which ones to do first? Which ones I can do maybe later? Which ones I need to maybe push back at another time? How do I know what to prioritize? So this is where we go into the next construct that we will talk about. But before I do that, honey, did you want to jump in and talk a little bit about prioritization and how important this is, even as a mom, for example?
Well, I think when it comes to priorities, everyone has to analyze what life season they're in, because the priorities, they change, right? Like for me as a mom, whenever I give birth to one of my children, my priorities in that season revolve around being a mom to a newborn. So things have to kind of fall under that priority. And nobody else can breastfeed my baby or take care of my baby the way I can. So I have to make that my priority. So even if I am a homeschooling mom, I revolve the homeschooling around my breastfeeding schedule. I still do the homeschooling because that still is my priority, but I have to make sure that I don't neglect my baby as well. And that season doesn't last forever. And so I would just encourage everyone who's listening to this, whatever season or stage of parenting you're in, your priorities will naturally follow what life season you're in.
Fantastic, which leads us to this construct. So Joy naturally segued us to determine what our priorities is. Joy gave one perspective already, which is all about seasons. And you know, there's a gentleman who wrote a really great practical book also, and it has everything to do with these seasons. And when he talks about these seasons, what is important is to think about a fulcrum. I want you to imagine a fulcrum, right? So there's a lever, and the fulcrum sometimes switches its important or its balancing point or the thing that is important to it. So if you're imagining a fulcrum, let's say in the middle right now, there are seasons where it needs to shift. For example, Joy is saying, you know, she needs to put a lot more time to her baby versus other things. So she needs to shift and give a lot more time there. For me as a father, I need to be able to look at my seasons, and there are seasons where I might have to put a lot more time to the work, and that becomes my priority. So if we were to map this out, a typical week, let's say for Joy, outside of the newborn baby season, she's able to put a lot more time to the homeschooling and the kids and the house. Maybe 90% of the time really to doing that, and 10% to the small child duties, right? Because some of our kids are still very little, so she spends a little bit more time with them. But when there's a newborn, that 90-10 becomes something like maybe 30-70. She has so much more time to give to the little kids, because as a newborn, they need so much more attention. And in the week, that changes the activities, the things she does, and therefore reflects the priorities. That is the fulcrum principle. What is the season, or what is the thing that you need to be able to shift towards that will dictate the priorities in your life? It could be it's the year-end season, or it's the kickoff season for your business and your company. So naturally, you would have to spend more time at the workplace. So you might spend, you know, even outside of the office hours, you might spend an additional 10 to 20% of your time, because you have to put in the extra hours to finish your presentations or to make sure that the kickoff looks really good, or even the reviews that you need to be able to present or think through. Versus outside of those seasons, then you remove that 10 or 20% extra and you can put that into the time with the kids. So it's important that as we prioritize, we appreciate what is the season so we can shift that fulcrum into the right place. In the book of Wayne Cordero called Leading on Empty, he talks also not just about this fulcrum principle, but about another principle which is so, so, so important and has been transformative for me personally, if I was to be honest. He calls it I call it now the 5% principle. And it's actually from his research that says 80% of the things we do, we can actually delegate. There's so many things we're doing which we don't really need to do. Other people can or maybe even should be doing it. After the 80%, there's now the 15% of things that we do which we can actually train or mentor other people to do, whether it's in the household, whether it's in our families, whether it's in the workplace. And then there's the remaining 5%. That 5% is now the set of things that only you and I, or you as an individual, or I as an individual, can do. The challenge for us is to therefore identify what are those 5% items in our life, and that, my friends, are now the set of priorities which we must put into the time management. For example, I love how, you know, when I think about myself as a father, I am a father to my kids. That is my 5%. No one else can be a father to my kids like I can. Other people can try, to be honest. If I start messing up or if I start neglecting that, other people will try and that will be a tragedy. So I need to make sure that I prioritize that because no one else should or can really be a father to my kids like I can. It's the same with my wife as a mother to our kids, and it's the same for us as husband and wife. Only I can be a husband to my wife, Joy. Only I should be a husband to my wife, Joy, and care for her and love her and take care of her. And if guess what? If I don't do that and I neglect that, then that can lead to all sorts of disasters where other people might just try. And we don't want that. So that's why it's so important that we ask ourselves these honest questions. What are the 5% items in our life? And are we really focusing on that? There may be many 80% items or 15% items. And the challenge for us is now to say, okay, let me just delegate these things and do that. And then to ask, who can I now train for the 15% of the things that I do? So that is something that is also very practical and has been very helpful for us as a family. And even for me as a dad who wears quite a number of hats, ask yourself your 5%. Once you've identified these things, start cutting back on the things that are not by delegating and raising up other people, training them, mentoring them, reproducing and replicating ourselves and our abilities so that we can do so much more effectively and we can prioritize the things that really matter, especially at a time like this. So important, the 5% principle. So that will help us also prioritize. Honey, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I agree. I agree that we can only do so many things excellently and well. And my encouragement to women out there, once you get married, your priorities really have to shift. And it's not that I'm saying that all women have to be home-based or they can't work and they can't have careers. But what I always encourage women is that once your career or your profession starts to get in the way of your roles, your role of being a mom, your role of being a wife, and somebody, you know, really taking care of the home and running it, then you have to assess, am I in the right kind of job? Maybe you are in the right kind of career, or it's, you know, you are in the right kind of profession, but maybe the type of work isn't suitable to your life season because it makes you end up neglecting your other priorities. So like for me, there was a time when I had to quit working in a corporate job because I needed to be more home-based. But even though I was home-based, I was still able to use my gifts and abilities that God has given me in order to earn money, to earn income. But it was at my own pace. I could do the work in a more flexible way so that I could still prioritize my husband, my children, our home. So actually, even today, Edric and I, we both work. But the nature of our work is different. Mine allows me a lot more flexibility because I can choose which projects I'll say yes to. In fact, this year, I told my assistant I would like to really cut back on projects and contracts with companies because I need to really focus on my oldest son who's going to be graduating and going off to college. So that's, you know, that season with him, I can't repeat again. I could always do projects later on. That's something I can revisit in a later season. But having this time with my son right now, where he won't be this young again and he's going to be going off, I won't have that again. So this is where we really have to evaluate, as Edric said, what are the things that we can only do, not just with our skills, our abilities, and our season, but at this particular moment in time, I guess that relates to season as well, we won't have this moment again, for example. So we need to think through, okay, if I'm not going to have this moment ever again, what am I doing that I should stop doing? And what am I not doing that I should start doing? Because I need to maximize this season. So I think it's really about that, really maximizing the season that's right in front of us.
Right. And I love how Joy talked a little bit about there are some hard choices we need to make, some very hard choices we need to make when we embrace this principle. And at the moment you're making it, it might not feel comfortable. It might not actually feel good at all. But when you look back, you look back with a smile. And that's one of the things that I've been able to experience. When Joy and I were first starting out in our 20s, we got married. She was 24, I was 25, fell in love, we got married. We started off very simply. And there was a point where, because Joy is also very driven like I am, she was actually going to take on a job that would have paid more than I did. And it was an important juncture for
paid
us.
Paid more than what you were making.
Yeah, paid more than what I was making at that time. So, you know, it was an important juncture for us because we agreed that my role as a husband and as a leader in our home was to be the primary breadwinner. So if she was going to now make more money than me, then that would distort the roles. Now, that meant to us very practically that the total take home for our family would have been less. But we stuck to that principle because that is not the important thing for Joy. Her role is not to make the money. It's my role. That is what's 5% to me. So she did not take on that opportunity. Instead, stayed with that job she was in. And, you know, when we look back now, I can be very honest with you. I think if she had taken that and started making more than I did, that would have probably affected many things, even in my own perception of my role, my maybe even my self-worth, etc., that would not have allowed us to be where we are today. And so when I look back with a smile. And we have many more of these junctures and stories. But what is key here, and the reason I'm sharing this, is we need to identify once again, what are the things that are roles or tasks that only you can do and are your 5%. For us, we define our roles as husband and wife, and therefore, only she can do her role and only I can do my role in our marriage. That's our 5%. So that's why I shared that. Which leads us now to the next principle or perspective. In the era of time management, not only do we focus more on prioritizing versus balancing, not only do we look at things like the 5% principle or the fulcrum principle, but we need to now create blocks with our children and as a family. We need to have predictable rhythms, first of all. Then we need to have one-on-one moments also with our children, especially if you have more than one child, right? Because in our case, we have six. So you can imagine, people have asked, how do you juggle all that? How do you, and I go through the same spiel about how it's not balance, it's prioritization. And we create rhythms for all of them to bank on, even through this pandemic. And we have now one-on-one moments where we catch each one to make sure that they know that even if we love them all equally, we love them all uniquely as well. So that is so important. So let's talk about rhythms. And you want to share about our family rhythms, which we try to do and keep and maintain for our family.
So one of the things that we did early on in our marriage, it really helped, was to assess what we do the night before the next day, because that's when your next day really starts, is the things that you do the night before. So when we sleep late the night before, then we can't get up early enough to exercise. And that sort of messes up our whole weekday, because during the weekday, we're really committed about exercising as a family. So in order to make that happen, we have to make certain choices about the night before. So as a family, generally speaking, we all go to bed between 9:30 and 10. For the younger kids, it's between 9 and 9:30. And that's pretty consistent as much as possible so that we can exercise the next day. And actually, we don't have a choice because we get up at, well, I get up early. I get up at around 5:30 to feed my baby. And then all of us have to be downstairs to exercise by 6:30. And this includes the household help and even our driver, because we want to make sure that our whole household is healthy. And the only way to do this is really to implement exercising as a group, as a family. And this means that after that, we will all eat breakfast at a specific time as a household. So that means we'll all eat at about 7:30 or 8. So after exercising, our exercise isn't actually that long. After about 45 minutes, I go to the kitchen quickly and whip up a breakfast. And then the kids, while they're waiting, Edric and the kids will read their Bibles, have their quiet time, take a shower. And then after that, by 9 o'clock, we proceed with our homeschooling. And if the kids have to do some cleanup work in their rooms or they haven't read their Bibles yet, they'll do that. And then we finish homeschooling with the younger kids by 12. And then with the older kids, they go on until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And by 12:30, we will all go down to the dining room table. And this is already understood. We don't even have to remind one another. We just say, okay, 12:30, we go down. And then we all have worship time together with our household. And we pray together. So for worship time, we just do like a one praise song. We sing together and then we take turns praying. So every day there's somebody from our household help that will pray and somebody from our family that will pray. And that's what we do every lunchtime, except on Sunday. So this is our weekday schedule. And then besides the morning routines, there are the, the evening routine would be like 6 o'clock. We have dinner so that we can finish early and then go to bed early, but also have hangout time as a family. But on Mondays, Edric and I have a date night, and we have something scheduled every Monday night called Mondays, which is our Facebook Live show that we do, and that's very routine. And then we also have time together on Monday to spend at lunch. We go out on a date. And then on Tuesday night, we have our couples Bible study group. And during our couples Bible study group, our kids also teach the Bible to other younger children. So there's a convergence there. I know Edric's going to talk about convergence in a bit. And then on Wednesdays, that's kind of free time in case we need to do counseling of people. But Thursday nights is our family date night, and the kids have a performance night. They usually perform a song that they've practiced during the week or a special skill that they learn or maybe a science experiment. And then we have time together as a family because it's family date night. And then on Friday night and Saturday, the kids get super excited because they know it's the weekend. So our hardest workout is actually on Friday. But after that, we say, party, party, because that means that it's the weekend. And so after the homeschooling, after Edric gets his work done, we have one more Bible study at 6 o'clock with his cousins. But then after that, we'll watch a movie as a family. And then even Saturdays, we just chill with one another. We have added a couple of things that are very recent. One would be that the kids are going to be taking violin classes and piano lessons online on Wednesday mornings. And then the girls have ballet Wednesday afternoons and on Saturdays. And the boys also have a jiu-jitsu class. So we're trying to adjust to this new schedule because for the most part, during the whole pandemic and the quarantine, it's been very predictable where we don't have too many other things going on. But now we're starting to add more things. So that's affecting the rhythm a little bit. But we really try to stick to a very consistent weekday schedule and weekend schedule. And then on Sundays, that's worship day. And then we go visit our families if possible, where possible. So that is our very predictable schedule. And we try to stick to that as much as possible because it allows the kids to really feel a sense of security and they know what to expect during the week. They can plan their schedules around it as well. And they can manage their time properly according to the blocks and the things that we have already set in place that are non-negotiable, which would be family time together, meal times, and that sort of thing.
Hold on, honey. Before we continue on with the show, I'm sure some of our listeners are wondering how we collab with brands here in Family Unboxed. And with that, our lovely listeners, we use Podmetrics.
Yes. So if you have a podcast, sign up now at podmetrics.co and use the code UNBOXD. One word, all caps. And that's one way you can help support the show as well.
Oh, and if ever you're an advertiser who wants to collab with Family Unboxed, head on over to advertiser.podmetrics.co and fill up the form. Again, that's Podmetrics,
the easiest way to monetize your podcast.
So the principle that Joy is sharing without telling her whole life story is really the predictable rhythms. That's what's so important here as a family, especially through the uncertainty of this pandemic. You know, even as we shifted into it, it's so important, whether it's work from home or school from home or some blend of those things, that there is some semblance of things that are predictable, things that they can bank on, when to have fun, when to do work, when to relax. On top of that, we now want to talk about one-on-ones. And the first person we want to interview, so Joy will interview her, will be our youngest, no, not youngest, second to the youngest daughter. Her name is?
Catalina.
Okay, great. So mom will ask you some questions, baby, about what you like, and then we'll ask your next siblings. Go.
So what is something that you do with mommy every morning after we exercise?
Spend time.
What do you do? What do you do with me in the kitchen?
Cook.
What do you cook? What's your specialty?
Egg.
So Catalina, almost every morning after we work out, is my kitchen assistant. And that's how we bond together. And she helps me make the eggs for breakfast. In fact, she's become quite an expert at making eggs for everybody. Do you like cooking?
Yeah.
Why? Why do you like it?
It's fun. It's fun to learn.
What about spending time with mommy? Yeah. What are the things that you like to do with mommy?
Homeschool.
Oh, we just did that, right? We were doing one-on-one time. We were learning about your math together a while ago, right? So you like that when it's just you and mommy?
And sometimes with Tiana.
With Tiana also, yeah. Okay. So how do mommy and daddy make sure that we spend time with you? Because there's so many of you, right? There's six of you. But what makes you feel like we also make time just for you?
I don't really know.
Okay, so what are some things that you like to do that will say, okay, Kellyanne, you know how when my mommy says, Kellyanne, shall we have girls' time? And then what do we do?
We spend time with each other.
Yeah, like what do you like to do when we do girls' time?
We watch movies and do nail polish.
Yeah, we do nail polish. Okay, we do nail polish. Okay, what else? Yeah, watching movies, girl shows. Like, what's the recent girl show that we watched? What was the show that you wanted to watch that you said, Mom, can we watch that, please?
High School Musical.
Okay. So, I love you. Okay, can you call your siblings? Okay. All right. Okay. I love you, Catalina.
All right. So, you heard from Catalina and Joy. I'm going to ask now my youngest son, Titus. He is, how old are you, buddy?
12 years old.
Great. Hey, buddy. So, we're talking about having one-on-one time, you know, as a family, whether it's with mom or dad. What are the one-on-one times that you like?
I like it when we get to spend time together. Like, sometimes me and my dad build stuff. Like, maybe sometimes it's filing cabinets. Or we also build his gym stuff.
You like that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, I actually forgot about that. You just mentioned it now. And these are things we've done even through the pandemic, right?
Mm-hmm.
It forced to do these things. We weren't really able to do these things before, right? What are other things that you like doing, let's say, with mom?
It's actually fun when she does my homeschool with me because it's easier. And it's fun when there's like two people or like more people doing it.
I know what you're talking about. So when we discuss your Bible curriculum, or recently, like 2 days ago, we did your
writing.
So you prefer that when I'm right beside you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the thing about homeschooling is it does allow me a lot of one-on-one time with the kids. But I think what I need to improve on is doing more fun things one-on-one with my kids. I'm glad that Titus is saying that it's fun when we're learning. But what are some fun things that you would like mommy to do to improve on?
Or daddy.
Titus is our reflective thinker.
And he's also very politically correct. He's very kind. So he's trying to think about what to say. Go ahead, buddy. You be honest. What are things we can do to... What are things you can do together that you like?
I like it also when mom plays board games with us.
I do now, right?
Yeah, that sounds so
What's our new favorite... What's mommy's new favorite board game with you guys?
Azul.
And who usually wins?
Mom.
No.
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Thanks, baby. All right. What about with dad? Is there anything I can improve on that you think? One-on-one time. Do you think I spend enough one-on-one time with you?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
I see your mom nodding behind you. But do you think I have enough time with you?
That's great. I'm not nodding. I'm shaking
my head. SMH. So thanks, Titus. We're going to go to your next sibling, okay? Love you. All right. So we have now our second son, Eden. Say how old you are.
Oh, hi, I'm Eden. I am 14 years old.
Great. We're talking about one-on-one moments and how it's important to spend time with each other. So tell us about what are the one-on-one moments you like to have with dad?
So personally, some of my favorite one-on-one moments with my dad are when he goes out with me to do things that I love doing. Like when he goes to QC Circle to buy plants with me, or when he invests time and money and the things I'm interested, like he shows interest for them and he shows that he also cares, and that's when I really feel close to him because it shows how much he cares about what I care about, and because of that I love him more.
Oh, really? I didn't know that part. So what about the fishies when I took you to the aquarium shop? You like those things?
Yeah, even those things. So when
I bought a tank for you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ethan. Thanks for being very honest. It's a reminder for all of us parents. Again, you know, we go into their world. What about mom?
So I think for mom, same thing as dad. The thing about both of my parents is they both equally try to love me and pursuing what I like by both by taking me out and getting me things, because those are really the times when we spend time with each other. And even before this pandemic, my mom would spend time with me, like, by going out on dates, by eating out with me, spending time with me, and just being there for me and answering my questions about God and just talking to me and listening.
Tell me about the recent development or the recent thing we tried to do with your brother, for example, mentoring times. Are those things important to you?
Yeah. So what my dad does now is weekly, every Monday, 10:30 a.m., always the same time, he just sets aside a part of his day for me and my older brother to just talk to him so that he can hold us accountable spiritually. And this really helps because there's always a time for me. I feel that I'm special because my dad sets a time for me where I can really talk to him and open up to him issues about purity or questions about God. So I really like how my dad has been intentional in doing this.
Thanks, Beads. Okay, great. So we love you. We're going to ask your brother now. Come in, your other brother. Go ahead. Or your sister, whoever's there.
Tiana, we're talking about what are some of the things that you like to do one-on-one with mommy or with daddy? Or how? What are the ways that we spend time with you that are important to you?
So, like, when me and mom, like, do art together, or we do, like, sewing or hand lettering or, like, making earrings. And also when we go walking together with dad and mom and, like, play board games together. And I really feel like when they do that, we get, like, I feel secure because they're always spending time with me, so, yeah.
What about when we say, ooh, let's have girls' time and let's watch a girl show?
Yeah.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
Or what about when we do online shopping together?
Allah, that's a different topic. How about the design stuff, right? You do the design.
Well, actually, I haven't been doing that with her yet. She does that on her own. She does it on her own. Yeah.
Okay, so I think it's pretty consistent. Thank you, darling. We're hearing that what you appreciate in one-on-one time, whether it's dad or mom, are things that you enjoy when we do things that you like to do, right?
Yeah.
Okay, baby. All right. I love you. Thank you for sharing that. All righty. So we have now our eldest. Please introduce yourself and how old you are, big guy.
Hello. I am Elijah and I am the eldest. As my dad said, I am 17 years old, turning 18 this month, actually.
Yeah, this month. So this month is February for those of you that are catching this, depending on when you're watching it. Now, we've asked all your siblings, Elijah, basically what one-on-one moments you like to have with dad or with mom. So can you share what these are?
I think one very intentional example, I don't know if my siblings share this, but I think one very intentional example is that my dad takes time off every Monday in the morning to have a weekly alignment meeting or something like that with me, so to speak, where we just discuss what's been happening in my major milestones, especially such as my college applications. And we have accountability time where dad asks me how he can improve, where we share how we can improve to each other. And that's a very honest space where I can really open up to him and talk to him. And there have been many breakthroughs, I'd say, during those moments that I've been able to have with my dad. And as for my mom, she's a little bit more informal. So I don't have to schedule a meeting on her calendar to get to have a one-on-one moment with her. I can just call her and we can have a talk right there on the spot.
Because I'm not as busy as your dad. Your dad has a lot of things going on, but it's just different.
But that's very different honest. Different styles. Yeah. And I'm sorry if it sounds like you have to book a schedule for daddy.
He does have to book a schedule.
I kind
of
do.
I'm just sorry with the gesture, but it's a reality we all have to embrace, right? Because of time management, we're talking about this, right? But thanks, Elijah. Thanks for being honest. And yes, one of your siblings talked about it earlier. I love how you framed it in a different way. But thank you. And these are important to you, especially in this season of your life. So definitely. We love you. Thanks, big guy. All right. So now that you've heard from all of our kids, it's now time to wrap up. What are we talking about here in this podcast, this episode? We're talking about time management and how really balancing is a myth. So we need to instead prioritize. We've talked about the 5% principle, which is so important on a practical note on how to choose what to prioritize. We've talked about the fulcrum principle that helps us embrace seasons of our life where the priorities will change depending on what season of life we have. And then we looked at this next framework, if you will, on rhythms, making sure we have something predictable for the children to bank on. Now, we're not talking about overly rigid and obsessively compulsive task scheduling, but instead things that they can bank on, when to have fun, when to be serious, when to do hard grunt work, when to relax, when to worship God, right? So these rhythms are important as a family, especially or even through a pandemic where you're all, for the most part, cooped up. Create these rhythms. And then as you do these things, this last thing we shared with our children is the importance of making sure that we do not neglect the individual relationships that happen in the family. So Joy and I have our own date night. That's our one-on-one. And then the kids, we all find moments to spend time with them as much as we can individually, right? And that becomes the one-on-one. You heard from their mouths what one-on-one moments they appreciate having. So the final thing I wanted to share is convergence. But before I do, my wife has something she wants to share to you guys.
I think we also, in order to have good time management, we need to also eliminate time wasters. This will be super quick, right? But there's things that we do, habits that we have that really prevent us from being disciplined, because time management is all about being disciplined. And I'll be honest, I mean, there were seasons last year during the lockdown where I was on my phone a lot because of online shopping, having to get the groceries for the household, supplies, because that was just the most effective and safe way to do it. But what happened was I really got sucked into a vortex of being online. So I needed to come up with a system where I go on my phone in order to order products or goods or groceries during a specific day of the week and not just randomly. I tried to avoid that because that was becoming a time waster for me. And then I actually removed myself from a lot of the threads where people were selling goods on Viber or WhatsApp, because I was always checking those threads and it was becoming too difficult to manage my time. And I also actually removed certain online online shopping apps, because I couldn't control myself and they were also becoming very distracting. So I think we need to just be aware, what are the things that make us waste our time? And for me, I can't manage my time well with my kids in terms of homeschooling if my cell phone is always near me. So I have to put it in a different room so that I'm not always tempted to check it. So just be aware, what are the things that cause you to waste time? Maybe for some of us, it's watching too many Netflix shows. So that becomes addicting. And then we're not able to sleep early and we binge. And then we can't have a good schedule in terms of sleeping at the right time and waking up early enough to exercise and take care of our bodies. So that's all I wanted to add, hon.
Thank you, darling. Which leads us now to the closure. As Joy said, there may be things we need to cut that are actually time wasters. And so thank you for sharing that, baby. As we've looked at all these principles, there's so much more to talk about in time management. But really, as we unbox this very important and practical consideration for many families, let me just close with convergence. The principle of convergence is because we all have the same amount of hours in a day, but there's just so many different things that different families might be needing to do or wanting to do. If we want to prioritize well and get still many things done, we now need to find convergence where these different priorities can be put together. For example, are there ways you can marry work obligations with family time? For example, before the pandemic, at least, when I would have to travel across parts of the country to give talks, I required all of my talks to have one person with me. So that would either be my wife, so I can have family time with her, or one of my sons. And I would choose based on the one-on-one times also who it is that I might need to get to know a little bit more, to enjoy a little bit more. spend time with a little more. And that became the one-on-one with that child. So I was doing it for family reasons and that priority, but also for work, because that was a priority also. So convergence like that. What are the things you can bring together? And while they're there with me, they can also do their homeschooling. So that's an example of convergence. Bringing these priorities together into one activity wherever possible. That will allow you to be able to do more as a family and ensure that the priorities are not neglected and you're able to manage time well. So we hope that this has been helpful. Once again, this is Edric and Joy. Thank you for joining us in another episode of
Family Unboxed.
And we look forward to joining you again on our next episode. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.